ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयामुदीरये I will read the 30th verse from the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This chapter is called Transcendental Knowledge. I was asked today to speak about yagya, or sacrifice, the meaning of sacrifice. And it's a very significant term in the Vedic culture, and in fact in any human culture. And Krishna speaks a lot about it in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, which describes karma yoga. Yagya is the basis or foundation of karma yoga. So let's chant the verse in Sanskrit and then we'll speak on it. Sarve api ete yagya vidaha yagya kshapita kalmasa yagya shishta amrita bhujaha yanti brahma sanatana sarvipyete yagya vido sarvipyete yagya vido yagyaksha pita kalmasah yagyaksha pita kalmasah
yagyaksha pita kalmasah
yagyasishtam rita bujo yagyasishtam rita bujo yanti brahma sanatana sarvepyate yagya vido yagyaksha pita kalmasah yagyasishtam rita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam sarvepyate yagya vido yagyaksha pita kalmasah yagyasishtam rita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam sarve all ati although apparently different ete these yagya vidaha those who know the purpose of sacrifice yagya kshapita being cleansed as the result of such performances kalmasaha of sinful reactions yagyasishta of the result of such performances of yagya amrita bhuja those who have tasted such nectar yanti do approach Brahma, the Supreme, Sanatanam, eternal atmosphere. Translation. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions. And having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. Purport. From the foregoing explanation of different types of sacrifice, namely sacrifice of one's possessions, study of the Vedas or philosophical doctrines, and performance of the yoga system, it is found that the common aim of all is to control the senses. Sense gratification is the root cause of material existence. Therefore, unless and until one is situated on a platform apart from sense gratification, there is no chance of being elevated to the eternal platform of full knowledge, full bliss, and full life. This platform is in the eternal atmosphere or Brahman atmosphere. All the above mentioned sacrifices help one to become cleansed of the sinful reactions of material existence. By this advancement of life, not only does one become happy and opulent in this life, but also at the end, he enters into the eternal kingdom of God, either merging into the personal Brahman or associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki sarve pyate yagya vidho yagya kṣāpita kalmasaha yagya sishtam rita bujo yanti brahma sanātanam. All these performers who know the meaning of sacrifice become cleansed of sinful reactions, and having tasted the nectar of the results of sacrifice, they advance toward the supreme eternal atmosphere. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Dinamini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Guravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Paschatta Desha Tarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namah. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Ajanlambita bujaukana kavadata sankirtanam kapitaro kamalaya dakso visvambaro dvijavaro yugadharma pavo vande jagat priyakaro karunavataram. Okay. So I will speak about this important verse of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna sums up the previous discussion of different kinds of yagyas. And he explains here that those who know the purpose of sacrifice, the meaning of sacrifice, those who know what they are doing by being engaged in different kinds of sacrifice, these people, they basically get three results. Yagya kṣāpita kalmaśaḥ, all the sinful reactions are cleansed. They become very pure and clean in their heart, in their consciousness, in their understanding. Yagyasishtam rita bujo, they enjoy the remnants of the sacrifice or results of this sacrifice, and basically they become happy in this life. Śrīla Prabhupāda explains that even in this life they become opulent and prosperous. The opulence and prosperity comes as a result of sacrifice. And yanti brahma sanatana, ultimately, and the ultimate result of the sacrifice is that they approach this eternal atmosphere, or basically they obtain their eternal nature. They come back to their eternal existence. Like Prabhupada explains here, they come to the full bliss, full knowledge, and full life. So this is the three very amazing and wonderful results of sacrifice. You become clean, and everyone knows that if he becomes clean, it means basically that the sufferings are gone. Because all the sufferings within our body and mind is because of impurities. Whatever sufferings we experience is just the result of some impurities, of some dirt which is there, either within the heart, or within the consciousness, or within the body, or within the mind, or within the intestine, or within the liver, or within the... whatever you take. It's all a result of our dirt. So Krishna says, first result of sacrifice, you become clean. Second result of sacrifice, you become happy here. And the third result of sacrifice, you become eternal at the end. It's very tempting promise. And therefore, the central point of this verse is that Yagya Vido or Yagya Vidaha, those people who know the purpose of sacrifice or the meaning of sacrifice, they achieve this result. Because you may be engaged in sacrifice or in some kind of ritual, in some kind of religious ritual. And Krishna before explains that there are so many sacrifices. Those yogis who do pranayama, they are engaged in sacrifice. Those yogis who just sit in one posture, they are engaged in sacrifice. Those people who are living regulated family life, they also sacrifice. I know it's a big sacrifice to live a family life. And so many other types of sacrifice, and I will speak a little bit about this later. But there could be many different sacrifices, and ultimately everyone is engaged in one sacrifice or another. We're sacrificing for our family, we're sacrificing for our near and dear ones, we're sacrificing for our motherland. So many different ideas of sacrifices there within this life. But Krishna explains that only if you know the real meaning of the science of sacrifice, you will be able to achieve these three results. So therefore it's very important to know the science of sacrifice. What is it? What is the meaning? Yagya Vido. Basically, Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, and this is the meaning of this whole chapter, is that the ultimate result of the sacrifice is to get rid of karma. When people are engaged in sacrifice, that it results in the purification of karma. And Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that you will be able to control the senses. Because when we are slaves of karma, we are slaves of our senses. Our previous activities basically push us to do all this kind of stuff which we have been doing. Chewing the chewed. You know, if you started smoking, after some time you become the slave of this habit. Or you take little drug. Very innocent, just for curiosity's sake, little heroin or whatever. Let me see how it feels. So, then you become the slave of this stuff. And when Prabhupada says, speaks about sense control, he basically speaks about this lamentable situation of the human being being enslaved by their senses. Senses are pushing them to do what they have been doing for so many years and they cannot stop doing it. They're just doing and doing and doing. And this is how karma works. And this is ultimately the main benefit of the sacrifice. Sacrifice is a science which is developed in the ancient human civilization to help people get rid of this slavery. Actually, this whole world is a very dark place. You might have noticed it. It's very dark. Dark in the sense that, you know, we are being enslaved in so many ways. The government is trying to enslave us. All our, you know, little bosses and chiefs are trying to really squeeze us out. But the most lamentable type of slavery is inside. We are slaves of our karma. We are slaves of our sinful habits. We are slaves of our mind. Mind tells us something. I want this. And you're running to fulfill these crazy desires of the mind, no matter how crazy they are. And the mind has unlimited number of crazy desires. Just one crazy desire after another crazy desire. And you do it. It's very humiliating in reality. And this is how this world is working upon us. So ultimately, sacrifice is to make us free. Sacrifice is to make us happy and to give us the feeling of complete, absolute freedom in this world. So Krishna explains the science of sacrifice. And the science of sacrifice is ultimately to teach people that they should give. This is the essence of sacrifice. Sacrifice, you give something. The first type of sacrifice is that you give something, some object. Usually the symbol of sacrifice, the metaphor of sacrifice is this fire sacrifice. Those who come often to Hare Krishna temple for sure are familiar with this ritual of sacrifice. There is this fire and people sit around it, and there is a priest, and the priest is pouring clarified butter. And everyone is throwing some grains, you know, by chanting mantras. So this is called dravya yagya, or sacrifice of some material objects. But the symbol, it's a very symbolic thing. Actually, this whole thing is a metaphor, which we have to very clearly understand. And this way we can become yagya vidaha, or the knowers of the meaning of sacrifice. What is fire? The meaning of fire is that there is very peculiar characteristic of fire. Fire burns, of course. But there is another important characteristic of fire, is that fire always goes up. Fire never goes down. You never saw the fire which would go down or going even to the side. Even if there is very strong wind, still the fire goes up. Fire is the fire of knowledge. The fire symbolizes this fire of knowledge. And this fire of knowledge, which is supposed to be burning within our heart, should burn away the sinful reactions or karmic reactions. All the seeds which we throw in the fire, they're seeds of karma. It is explained by Patanjali Muni in his Yoga Sutras that there is avidya kshetra within our consciousness. Avidya means ignorance, and kshetra means soil. Kshetra means field. This avidya, very thick soil of ignorance within our heart, this is where we're sowing the seeds of our karma. We're ignorant. We don't know who we are, what we are about, what is the meaning of life. So we're doing this action or that action just to become happy. But as a result of every action like a seed, we're sowing the seed, and after some time, in due course of time, every seed will bring what? Yeah, more seeds and more seeds and more seeds. Every action has many, many reactions. We are doing just little action, and so many reactions are there. Like in the laws of Manu, in Manu Samhita, it is explained that if you are eating cow, if you are somewhat guilty in killing the cow, you will be born as many times as there are hairs in the body of karma, or cow. So many times you will be born as a cow to experience this horrible pain. So you do one action, just very innocently kill the cow, because this is the custom of the land, because everyone has to eat beefsteak or something like this. Nothing wrong with it, right? Everyone is doing this. But the law of Manu says that the result which will come after some time will be multiplied many, many times. And in the same manner, if you do something good, the result will also be multiplied many, many times. If you do something little good, you will get a lot of good in the future. So this is how karma works. Karma is not proportionate. Karma is not that you do something little and you get something little. No. Because if you do something bad to somebody, this evil action towards somebody, or the pain which you inflict to somebody, actually is being multiplied many times. Let's say you inflicted pain to somebody. And these people, because you inflicted pain, he experienced this pain and his mood became very bad. And he will go and he will inflict this pain to many, many people. So indirectly, you are guilty in the pain he is inflicting to others. Like for example, there is this horrible thing in the modern world as a child abuse. Sometimes people, they abuse little children. Sexually abuse or physically, they are abusing them. But what happened with these children, when they grow up, they will start doing the same thing to other children. They were victims, but these victims, they become culprits after some time. So the original culprit or criminal who inflicted pain to this little creature, he is indirectly guilty of the pain which this little boy will inflict to other children when he will grow up. And therefore he is responsible for this, and sooner or later this will come back to him. All this pain which he inflicted, which he is guilty of doing, will sooner or later come back to him. And this is how karma works. Or if you do something little good, this little good actually again multiplies in the chain of human connections or connections of the nature. And ultimately you will get the good results of this karma. But the metaphor or symbol of fire sacrifice is that you throw the seeds in the fire. What happens with the seeds if you throw them in the fire? What will happen with them?
Burn.
Yeah, they will burn. Will they be able to bring fruits?
No.
No. The sacrifice means that you're sacrificing your karma. You're burning away your karma. You're saying that no more, I don't want. I don't want the reactions of my activities. I'm throwing the seeds of my karma within the fire. And it basically means that the reactions will not come to me. And moreover, when you throw the seeds in the fire, what effect it will have? It burns or fries the seeds. The fried seeds will not be fructified. But besides that, the fire becomes stronger. As I said, the fire which goes up is a symbol of knowledge. And if you do proper action, and sacrifice is nothing else but karma. We are doing different karma in this material world, but usually the karma brings bad reactions. But if you do the karma in the spirit of sacrifice, whatever you do, if you do it as a sacrifice, then not only the reactions of the previous actions will be burned, but the fire of knowledge will become stronger. You will get ultimately the transcendental knowledge within your heart. And of course we know that, you know, anyway, it really depends. If you take a big bag of the seeds, you come to the little fire and throw the whole bag in the fire, then the fire can be extinguished. So we should be very careful with our karma. When we come to the spiritual path, all our actions should be in the spirit of sacrifice, but we should be very careful about actions which we perform, not just throw the whole bag of it and the little fire of spiritual knowledge which is there. But the most essential ingredient of the sacrifice is this ghee, clarified butter, melted butter, which is produced after a very long chain of actions. And this ghee symbolizes bhakti. And the priest, and the main priest is supposed to be someone who conducts the yajna. We need somebody who leads us into the spirit of yajna, into the spirit of sacrifice. We need somebody who really knows what he is doing. And he is not throwing the seeds. He is supposed to be free from all these karmas. He is throwing the clarified butter. And the clarified butter has a very amazing effect on the fire. First of all, it burns immediately. When you throw seeds, the fire goes little down, and then after some time it goes up again. But if you pour clarified butter, then what happens with the fire? Immediately it burns. And there is no ashes from this clarified butter. The clarified butter, which is produced after so long time, is actually only gives food for this fire. So the clarified butter is the symbol of bhakti, or symbol of devotion. Because ultimately, this fire of transcendental knowledge only burns because of devotion. Only this fire of transcendental knowledge, or which is being fed by our devotion, devotion to God, is capable of burning away all the karma. Sri Krishna explains all these different kinds of sacrifices which are there, but ultimately in all the sacrifices, the essence, the ultimate goal of all the sacrifices is to teach us how to love. And the transcendental knowledge is nothing else but the knowledge of love. Even in the material world, we know if you love somebody, if you really love somebody, if you don't pretend that you're loving, but you really love somebody, what you do? What is the desire which comes from your heart when you love somebody? What you do towards this person? You love somebody. Yeah. You try to please him. You try to serve him. You try to give him something. And it's even more important for you to please him than to please yourself. The amazing result of love is that your selfish desires vanquish. You love somebody and you want to do something for him. You want to serve him. You want to do something for him. So this is the meaning of love. The sacrifice is coming from love. That ultimate root of sacrifice is love. And when the love is there, we're naturally engaged in this abnegation, self-abnegation. We're naturally engaged in this self-sacrifice. We're naturally doing something. We're naturally serving. But Krishna is teaching us vice versa. He says, you don't have love now. And unfortunately, this is a very sad state of our consciousness. We don't have this love within our heart. But Krishna says, if you still engage in the sacrifice in a proper manner, ultimately you will get love. Ultimately you will get devotion. And he explains this here. He says, if you are engaged in sacrifice, if your actions are performed in the spirit of sacrifice, that you are not doing it for yourself, but you are doing it for Krishna, you are doing it for the devotees, you are doing it for the sake of igniting spiritual knowledge within your heart, then the result of this will be bhakti. You will get love. When the fire is strong enough within your heart, then the love will come. And all the unwanted things will disappear. Actually, what Krishna is saying here is very scientific consequence of the spirit of sacrifice. If I understand that sacrifice means that I have to give. And I can give in many different ways, in many different capacities. Like here Krishna explains that if you just perform your duties, your duty as a husband or your duty as a wife, and do it very nicely and very properly, and know that you're doing this duty ultimately for God, for God's sake, That will purify you. And that's not so easy. Because usually people are very selfish. Did you notice this? We always think about ourselves. You know, I need this and I need this and I need this, and this guy doesn't give me what he's supposed to give me. The family relationship is so difficult because everyone is thinking what he wants to get. The husband knows the duties of the wife very perfectly. And the wife perfectly knows the duties of the husband. The only problem is that husband doesn't know the duties of the husband and wife doesn't know the duties of the wife. And that's how it becomes spoiled. Everyone is thinking he's supposed to do this. He's a rascal. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. But sacrifice means I'm thinking, what am I supposed to do? And this is sacrifice. What is my duty? What I have to give, not what I have to get. And this is a big science, because usually people don't know how to give. Everyone knows how to get. When the little child is crawling, the first thing which he knows, he doesn't know anything else, but he already knows how to get something and to put it inside. You know, he's taking everything, every garbage which is there, you know, he's just keeping. And this habit remains. During our life, we're just collecting all kinds of garbage. Did you notice this? If you go to anyone's apartment or home, it's just a big collection of garbage. You know, it's just this garbage and that garbage and that garbage. Because everyone is just getting and collecting and collecting and collecting. But human life means to learn how to give. This is what little children has to know, and this is what adults has to know, how to give. And how to give means I have to know what are my duties. What am I supposed to do? And Krishna says there are many different ways of doing it, but ultimately, by doing this, you develop the habit to give. And when you develop this habit to give, the habit for sacrifice, when you really develop this habit to give, or habit for sacrifice, then you feel happiness in the act of giving. Because we are greedy now. We are so greedy and so completely miserly, you know. We think, you know, I cannot give it, you know, because I need it myself. Krishna says, just throw a few grains to start with, and you will get the taste. Actually, this is much more pleasurable, pleasing, if you give than when you get. Like when you give some charity. You know, you get a lot of pleasure. In India, there is a very interesting custom, which I didn't understand for a long time. There is this custom that you have to feed people. In India, one of the mottos or one of the sacrifices which every civilized human being should do sounds like Atithi Bhagavan. If somebody comes to you, knocks at your door, and he comes to you not in the proper time, he's uncalled, you don't want to see him, but he just still comes to you, you have to treat him as Bhagavan. If some guest comes to you at night, at 1 o'clock in the morning, he knocks at your door, your duty, if you want to be called civilized human being, is to open door and to do whatever you can just to please him. Because this is how your relationship with Bhagavan are tested. If you receive this unwanted guest properly, it means that you're ready to receive Bhagavan within your heart. But not only this, there is this custom of, you know, accepting, of hospitality, of accepting people, of feeding people. And I was once experiencing this. I was received in a traditional Indian home, and what did they do? I mean, they really treated me as Bhagavan. It's definitely very literal. They did all kinds of pujas to me, they chanted all kinds of prayers to me, they bowed down the whole family, they washed my feet. You know, I didn't know what to do. It was very embarrassing because, you know, of course we all want to be Bhagavan, but to take it that literally, it was quite unexpected. So anyway, they were doing all kinds of stuff, then they were feeding me. And then the end of this, which is the most amazing, because all the time I was thinking how much they will ask for this service. Being spoiled, being totally, completely corrupt in my mind, I was thinking, you know, they will definitely give me a bill or invoice, you know. This is for this puja, and this is for this prayer, and this is for this food. But at the end, they gave me money. They gave me envelope with 100 rupees. I couldn't figure it out. You know, they were serving me and serving me and serving me and serving me. And at the end, they paid me. And when I asked, what is the esoteric meaning of this action? Then you serve and then you pay. Somebody explained to me, when you serve somebody, you get so much pleasure that you have to pay to the object of your service. Because you get the pleasure. And you have to pay for this pleasure. So what Krishna is saying here, what Krishna is recommending to us, what Bhagavad Gita is recommending to us, is that when you get accustomed to the science of sacrifice, accustomed of giving, then gradually you will develop the taste for this. And when you develop the taste for this giving, you know, now sacrifice is really something horrible, you know. You immediately think, you know, sacrifice, this is something really uncivilized. No, this is a very nice custom, or the very nice ritual, or the very nice, basically, pillar of life. And if you develop this custom of giving, then you will get all these results immediately, because you will get this taste of giving. And when you get this taste of giving, your own desires will disappear. One of the greatest mistakes of modern people is that they think, they take it as an axiom, that desires is something which makes you happy. Once I was speaking with one lady. She was a very religious, not religious, she was a professor of religion. And she knew all kinds of religions. She knew all kinds of stuff about Buddhism, about Hinduism, about Christianity, about Muslim. She had all kinds of different knowledge in her little head. And she started speaking about Buddhism. And she said that in Buddhism, she started to explain to me the essence of Buddhism. And she said, in the Buddhism it is said that the root cause of all problems is the desire. And that we know. You know, we have these desires which are burning within our heart. But then she said that the solution which they give is really backwards. It's really strange. I agree that unfulfilled desires is a problem. We know. If I have very strong desire which I need to fulfill, this is a problem. But then she said, you know, somehow or other this Buddhists say that you have to get rid of desires. And I think you should not get rid of desires, you should fulfill this desire. This is how it should be. But people don't understand that desire in itself, whether fulfilled or non-fulfilled, is the cause of suffering. The desire in any stage. And Krishna says this. Tamayasha krodayasha rajaguna samud bhavam mahasana mahapapma vidyanami havairinam. He says this is your enemy. The desire is your enemy and it's mahasana mahapapma. Mahasana means it cannot be satisfied at any stage. It's voracious. It eats more and more and more. You satisfy this little desire, the desire becomes big. It grows faster than you feed it. You know, and you feed this big desire and becomes even bigger. Until it swallows you completely. It's mahasana. You cannot satisfy the desire. It's like the fire. Again, the same metaphor. The fire is burning and you pour ghee in the fire. The fire asks, please give me some food. And you put some food in this fire. And what happens with the fire? It asks for more and more and more. So this fire of desire. In our heart, there could be only two fires. Either the fire of desire, which ultimately will swallow us, or the fire of transcendental knowledge, which ultimately will elevate us, which ultimately will bring us up to the spiritual atmosphere. So people in this world, mahasana mahapapma, first effect of the desire is that you can never satisfy it. Second effect of the desire, it's mahapapma, means it's very sinful. It pushes us to commit sinful activities after sinful activities after sinful activities. And all these desires actually is the cause of anxiety. In Srimad Bhagavatam there is a very nice story about prostitute. So people like to hear about prostitutes. So I will tell you the story about prostitute. There was a prostitute in the city of Mithila. And her name was Pingala. She was a nice prostitute. She was a very pretty. And she had very strong desire within her heart. Sexual desire. The lust was very strong. And besides that, that was her, you know, daily bread. That's how she would get her sustenance and maintenance. But she loved her profession. She was very... very good prostitute. So she was living, and one day she dressed very nicely, very beautifully, and she was sitting in her house waiting for the clients. She was waiting and waiting, and time was passing and passing and passing, minute after minute, hour after hour, and she would become more impatient and more impatient and more impatient. And she was listening every sound. Oh, maybe one client is coming, maybe my lover is coming, maybe somebody else is coming. But it was not to her, it was to somebody else. To some other prostitute, or I don't know to whom. You know, nobody was coming to her. And the time was passing and passing and passing, and the desire within the heart was becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And ultimately she became totally in complete anxiety. And nobody came. The night came and nobody came, and half night passed, and she realized that nobody will come. And at that point of time, she said, what am I doing? Am I crazy? Примерно так. What am I doing? She at one point realized that the happiness is not to fulfill the desire, but to get rid of the desires. She said, Asha Paramam Dukham. Asha Paramam Dukham means, Asha means the hope for the enjoyment, which is burning within our heart. We really want to enjoy and we hope that we will get enjoyment, and the hope becomes stronger and stronger and stronger no matter what. And we have so many problems within our life, but the hope to enjoy is still there. And she, at that point when she realized that nobody is coming, she said, better I kill this hope within my heart. No more hope to be enjoyed. And she said, and she felt very happy. She said, really good, you know. I don't need to hope that somebody will come. I don't need to expect somebody. I don't need to wait. I don't need to listen all these noises and, you know, sounds. I just can sleep peacefully. And believe it or not, she lay down on her bed and slept very peacefully. And that was her first peaceful night in her life. Because she killed this hope. There is a very good Russian saying that the hope is dying the last. You know, we have so many hopes, and the life is always contrary to these hopes, but still we hope, like in English they say, hope against hope. You know, there is no hope, but we'll still have some hope. Everything goes wrong in my life, but we still have the hope, after some hope, after hope, and ultimately we die very hopeful. You know, it's a very hopeful death. We die with a very strong hope to become happy. But what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying is that you have to get rid of these hopes, have to get rid of these desires. And the only way to get rid of the hopes and desires is the sacrifice. When you develop this habit of sacrifice, the sacrifice is burning away all these hopes and desires. And when in the fire of sacrifice all our sinful desires or sinful hopes are being burned, then we become totally, completely peaceful. And this peace is coming. And Krishna is explaining this. He says, this is the first effect. Again, the three effects of sacrifice. If you develop this spirit of sacrifice within your heart, that I'm doing my duty. I'm doing it not for myself. I'm doing it for God. I'm doing it for my spiritual master. I'm doing it not for myself. Then these three results will come. First, you become cleansed. You become totally pure from the sinful reactions of the past. Second, you become happy. And that's very amazing. Krishna doesn't say that, you know, if you sacrifice, if you give and give and give and give, and you will be left with nothing. No, Krishna says, you will be bujo. Bujo means you will enjoy. Shishtamrita. You will enjoy Shishtamrita. Shishta means the remnants of the sacrifice, the results of the sacrifice. And this results of the sacrifice is Amrita. What is Amrita? Who knows what is Amrita?
Deathless nectar.
Yeah, this is the nectar of deathlessness. What you get as a result of sacrifice, you get deathlessness. You become Amrit, you become deathless. You become totally free from death. When you engage in sacrifice, you get happiness, material enjoyment. That's for sure. That's the law of this world. If you do this, you will get whatever you need. But besides that, you will taste this nectar of deathlessness. You will become deathless. You will actually understand that there is no death for you. You will get rid of the fear. Now we are very fearful because we are afraid of death. But if you engage in the spirit of sacrifice, if you develop the spirit of sacrifice within yourself, you will feel that there is no death. And in this way you become totally fearless. Who wants to become totally fearless and free from death? We all want. And that's Krishna says, you become happy in this life because you become free from this fear of death due to the spirit of sacrifice. And you will get a lot of opulence too as a result of sacrifice. And then Yanti Brahma Sanatana, you approach the eternal atmosphere of the spiritual world. You become Brahman yourself. Because you develop this eternal spirit or eternal nature, and since you have this eternal nature, then your next existence will also be eternal. You will come to this eternal atmosphere because your consciousness has become eternal. Again, as a result of sacrifice. So that's the meaning of sacrifice, and that's how important the sacrifice is. And therefore we have to understand that our whole life should become the sacrifice. We're engaged in Sankirtan Yagya, and this is the best way of engaging in Yagya, when we chant this holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is the biggest sacrifice. This is the biggest, the easiest, the most pleasant, and the most direct sacrifice. Because the ultimate result of sacrifice is that you have to sacrifice yourself, your false, selfish, false ego. And the best way to sacrifice your false ego, to get rid of your false ego, is to develop relationship with Krishna. And when we chant the holy name, if we chant it in a proper spirit, in a spirit of sacrifice, this is to get rid of our false identity. Now our identity is false because we think, I'm on my own, I'm independent, I can do whatever I like. And I have this desire and that desire and this little desire and this little hope, and let me do it and I will become happy in this way. But when we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The meaning of this sacrifice, of this chanting of sacrifice, means that we say to God, let your desire be fulfilled, not mine. My desire is not very important. My desire is not significant at all. Because I know it doesn't work anyway. I already tried. It just doesn't work. So we say to God, let your will reign supreme. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But saying to God, I am not independent anymore, I am dependent on you. I am dependent on your will, I am dependent on your kindness, I am dependent on your mercy. And in this way, we burn this selfish, false identity of ours, which is called ahankar, which is the cause of all our problems. And this is the sacrifice which we should be engaged. This is Sankirtana Yagya. And this is the most pleasant sacrifice, because you chant. And Prabhupada said that, you know, it's natural for people to chant something, to dance. They like music, they like to dance. And Prabhupada said, in this way, we will dance our way back home, back to Godhead. So we will just dance, and at one point we will not even notice. We're dancing here and we will start dancing there. We'll come in a very natural way. We're chanting and singing here, and we'll start chanting and singing there. Because we will go to this place which is suitable to our consciousness. And if we develop this eternal consciousness of somebody who belongs to God, I am not my own, not on my own. I belong to God. I'm part of Him. Krishna promises to us. He says, Yayadhamam prapajante tamstatami bhajanyaham. How one relates to me, I reciprocate with him accordingly. If he knows that I am eternal, and if he wants to serve me eternally, then he will get his eternal life, and I will serve him eternally in the eternal kingdom of God. So this is how the life goes. This is deep science, great science. And again, the most important word in this verse is this Yagya Vido. When we are engaged in this Yagya, we have to know the meaning of what we are doing. We have to be very conscious and very precise in the purpose of the oral sacrifice. I'm chanting this Hare Krishna mantra not to get some futile material results. I'm chanting this Hare Krishna mantra to get rid of my karma as the first result, and ultimately to develop love. And if we know this purpose very clearly, and if we engaged in this sacrifice, in this action, with very clear vision of the goal, then this goal very quickly will come to us. And everything else will be included within this goal. As Krishna says, you will be purified, you will become happy here in this world, you will totally be free from the fear of death, and ultimately you will go back home, back to Godhead. So this is the meaning of our sacrifice. We are chanting Hare Krishna mantra to get rid of our false material identity, which is totally useless. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Okay, this was a little lecture about the meaning of sacrifice. Sarve pyate yagyavido yagyakshapitta kaumasah yagyashista shistamrita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam. So this is the very nice sacrifice. Very, very nice process. It can bring us so much if we do it properly. Are there any questions? These points.
Maharaj, nowadays as time is going by and many devotees are not so much fully engaged, they have some kind of philosophy that they can engage to this process of bhakti yoga with material desires, and even though they have to take results, but still at the end it will turn out good because it was said so in Veda. So is it actually possible to calculate like that, that we can lower our purity of performance of bhakti yoga and then still wish that according when time passes we will still attain the ultimate goal? Is it like possible? Or is it like a word, that's the point where one starts going down faster?
What do you think yourself?
Well, I feel that when one starts making these kind of compromises, it's like the beginning of endless compromises. Somehow I feel like that.
Вопрос такой, что некоторые преданные сейчас, они снижают свои стандарты и думают, хорошо, сейчас у меня есть желания какие-то, я буду пытаться удовлетворять свои желания, в конце концов, все равно результат будет хороший. Все равно я достигну всего того же. Не нужно особенно стараться, напрягаться, трудиться. This is called Hridau Balyam, weakness of the heart. We are weak. Krishna explains, again, this is a science. What you get, you cannot get something which you didn't deserve. You only get what you deserve. And Krishna explains that sadata bhava bhavita yam vapismaram bhavam tyajatante kalevaram tam tam evaiti kaunteya sadata bhava bhavita. Krishna explains that yam vapismaram bhavam tyajatante kalevaram, when you give up your body at the moment of death, you will get what you will remember at that time, right? What you remember, whatever image or thought will come to your mind at that moment, at the moment of your living body, you will get in the next life this. You will only get this much. And he explains what exactly you get. This last line is very important. Sadata bhava bhavita. You will get in the next life or at the end of your day, at the end of life, only the thought which you have cultivated during your lifetime, Sadatat Bhava Bhavitaha, constantly. If you have been cultivating something, that only you will get at the end of life. If your practice was adulterated by different desires, then naturally you will think about so many things. And there is no guarantee that at the end of life you will think about Krishna. Because how is that possible? It's very difficult to, you know, even when we are healthy and we have relatively peaceful mind, we know how difficult it is to think about Krishna. The mind goes here and there, and there are so many important things which I have to think about all of a sudden, and so many garbage is there, and you have to think about this garbage and that garbage and all kinds of garbages which is there, and it's difficult. But when you're dying, just imagine you're dying. I know it's not easy, but it will happen at one point. You will be totally, completely in panic, in pain. And if you didn't cultivate very properly this consciousness, eternal consciousness, consciousness of God, who can guarantee you that you will think about Krishna? Nobody. If it's so difficult to think about Krishna at the moment of life, when we're relatively healthy, why should we think about him at the moment of death? There was one devotee who was drowning in the water, in the river. And then somehow or other he was rescued from the water. And somebody asked him, what did you think at the moment of death, when the death was approaching? He said, I got an advertisement about some washing powder. This is the image which came to me. Because, yeah, and we see so many advertisements around us. So, when we watch TV, and I know those devotees whom you meant, by asking your loaded question, they sometimes have nice TV. It's a part of their paraphernalia for worship Krishna, somewhere near the altar. And they do some TV yagya. Every evening they ignite the fire of this yagya by turning on the TV. And they sacrifice this consciousness into this tube. But what happens as a result of this so-called yagya is that they get so many desires. This is the most demonic invention of the modern civilization. By far, the most demonic invention is this little innocent TV. Because specifically, the whole purpose of TV is to create desires within your heart. As if you don't have it enough. You know, we already have so many desires, but TV is just the source of new desires and new desires and new desires. On TV you see some, you know, advertisement. And in advertisement there is some beautiful apsara. And she's eating this, you know, chocolate. And you see, this is the perfection of life. To have this apsara eating the chocolate. And it creates a hope in you. That, you know, actually these apsaras, they don't exist in real life. They only exist in the TV, right? You notice? They don't exist, because even there they have so much cosmetics and everything to look nice. So, but you developed already desire, and you look at your wife, and she's not similar to this apsara. You just think, you know, I wasted my life with this ugly lady. And I could have enjoyed with this apsara who is eating this chocolate so nice. And you divorce with your wife and you start looking for this apsara which doesn't exist in reality. And in the meantime, you buy a lot of chocolate because at least you get something. No, if not Apsara, at least some chocolate. But this is how it works. This is how it's foolish, it's stupid, but that's how it works. But you know, when you see, when you watch TV, and at the same time you're very Krishna conscious because you're chanting japa. At the same time. Just guess what you will see at the moment of death. Most probably some apsara, not Krishna. You will not remember him. You will remember everything else. So Krishna is very specific about this. He said, sadata bhava bharita, whatever mood you have been cultivating during your lifetime, only this you will get at the end of your life. So we have to be very careful. The mind is a very dangerous fellow. It's like vacuum cleaner. You know how vacuum cleaner works. It just sucks the dirt. That's the dharma of vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaner is just loves to suck in the dirt. So the original vacuum cleaner is this mind, which loves to suck in the dirt. And the vacuum cleaner, the difference between the vacuum cleaner and the mind is that vacuum cleaner has only one outlet, and we have 5 outlets to suck in the dirt through the eyes, through the mouth, through the ears, through the nostrils. So this all dirt is coming inside. Therefore Krishna, while naming different yagyas, he says, he actually lists 12 different yagyas in this list, in the previous verses, before the verse which we chanted. And one of the yagyas is that you have to regulate your food, ahara. And the meaning is that not only just ahara, food, gross food, but the ahara for your eyes, food for your eyes, food for your ears, food for your nose. So you have to regulate. And this is yagya. The real yagya is that you take only nice, clean, sattvic food for your eyes, for your ears, for your nose, for your mouth. So all those people who say that we can do whatever we like, at the end, somehow or other, by some unbelievable strike of good luck, we will remember Krishna. It's not very serious. But if they develop this habit, they will become happy. This is actually the happiest thing, to speak about Krishna. Like today I was speaking with Arjuna Shakti, and she was telling me her experience. She said, when I speak about Krishna, even little, even things which I know and which I repeated hundreds of thousands of times, simple things about Krishna, I become happy. And everyone knows this experience. When I speak about Krishna, I become happy. And this is sacrifice, because normally we like to speak about ourselves, right? You know, I'm sick, and I'm tired, and I'm, you know, and oh, I'm, you know, this and that. We always speak about ourselves. We like to speak and hear about ourselves. But when we speak about Krishna, or when we hear about Krishna, we become happy. So the solution is not to lower the standard. The solution is to be engaged in sacrifice in a very sincere way. And then you become happy. These people, why they do it? Because somehow or other they are not satisfied. And they try to find satisfaction in some lower engagement. But the real solution is to find why I'm not satisfied. What am I doing wrong? Krishna promises to me, if you be engaged in the sacrifice, you will be happy. I'm not. Why? So this is how it is. This is the proper logic which we should develop. Are there any other questions? Okay. If there is no questions, then we can stop now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.